There's no such thing as community without being offended in one way or another. So the question is not if I get offended. The question is when I get offended, how do I respond?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Over the next couple of weeks, we will be looking at some of the parables that Jesus taught and some powerful lessons from those parables. The first parable we'll be talking about has to deal with what it means to walk in true freedom. You know, all of us get offended, and all of us have the ability to hold unforgiveness in our life. How does that affect us? Well, I think there's a lot of people that are part-time jailers. You're still keeping in jail that person that hurt you so badly and maybe so many years ago. But you know, funny thing about the jailer can't go anywhere because he's trying to guard the prisoner. And he'll never have true freedom unless and until he allows the prisoner to be set free. So stay tuned as we talk about lessons from the parables of Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Straight Talk. We are very glad that you're here with us. Today, we start a brand new series called Life Lessons, the Parables of Jesus. And today, our message is called Walking in True Freedom. We'll find our text in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Let's get right into the Word. Here is Pastor Mark.
Matthew chapter 18 is really about what to do when you get offended. Now, let me tell you something about getting offended. We're all going to get offended at one time or another. How about it? There is no such thing as community without getting offended. In fact, let me tell you, it's the people that are closest to you that offend you the most. Married couples, you know that. The person that can make you the maddest and the saddest and the happiest is your spouse. They know just what to say to crank you up, right? I mean, it doesn't even have to be a say. It can be a look. And they can offend you deeply. It's family that offends us the most because they're the closest to us. But let me tell you something about the community of faith. The reality is that if you are going to live in community and have relationships and be all that God wants you to be by being part of a community of faith, the truth is that you will get offended. Someone's going to step on your toes. Someone's going to hurt you. It's just the way it works. There is no such thing as community without being offended in one way or another. So the question is not if I get offended. The question is when I get offended, how do I respond? Now in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is talking about this. And he's talking about sin and being offended and causing other people to stumble. And the entire chapter is really about it. In verses 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 18, he talks about causing a child to stumble and the severe consequences of being a stumbling block to a child. In verses 7 through 9, he talks about us as we stumble ourselves and trying to avoid stumbling in our own lives. In verses 10 through 14, he talks about God's concern for the least of the people that fall away, the straggler, the prodigal son, the person that falls away from the flock. In verse 15 through 19, he talks about the actions that we should take when someone offends us or sins against us and the process that's outlined in the Word of God. And in verses 21 through 35, he tells us a parable about the attitude that we should have towards someone that offends us. So this morning I want to take a look at this because I believe that if we don't learn how to handle our hurts and offenses against us, it can lead us into a spiral downward. Let me tell you about something about the place where you are worshiping today. You are worshiping in a converted factory. And this is not the only thing that's been converted. There's a whole bunch of lives here that's also experienced reconversion or reconstruction. And the truth of it is, just like this factory is not finished, It's only about 35% done. We got a lot of work to do on this place. Let me tell you, most of us in this room, we're not near finished. Some of you about 30% under construction. Some of you are 50%, 60%. There's some of you that are edging on about 1%. But there's no one here that's reached perfection and completion. We are all under construction. And therefore, when we come together, we are not coming together as perfect saints and people that have reached perfection. We are coming together as a community of faith full of people that are under construction, that God is working on, that have their issues, their personality faults, their struggles in life, their attitudes, and every single one of us are people that God is working on. So therefore, when you get several hundred people together, you're going to realize that the people around you are not perfect. And in their lack of perfection, just like you, they're going to hurt people around them. That's just part of life. And that's true of every church in America, every church around this world, and every family in this continent. And so therefore, this teaching is very important and needed as we talk about what to do when we are offended and how to find and walk in freedom. Well, I want to begin reading in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18. It says, if your brother sins against you, other translations say offends you, trespasses against you. If you look this up in the original Greek, it'll say misses the mark, offends you, trespasses, hurts you. Go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens, you have won your brother over. But if you will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony or two or three witnesses. I want to give you three principles this morning that are important for you to grasp as we talk about what happens when we get offended or when someone hurts us. Principle number one, write it down. This is important. It's the principle of process. Process. When you get offended, there is a due process when someone has wronged you that you need to engage in if you are going to be healthy. The first thing that it says is if someone sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Now, many of us, we do exactly the opposite. Someone offends us. Lies to us, cheats us, hurts us, gossips about us or whatever happens. And guess what we do? We get on that phone and say, do you know what so-and-so did to me? Man, they did this and I can't believe it. They call themselves a Christian. Go to church. See you later, honey. Dial, dial, dial. Hey, do you know something? Can you believe what they did? And by the time you talk to 25 people now, and it's all out of just sharing your hurt. You're not gossiping, just sharing your hurt, right? And someone finally says to you, well, you're going to deal with it? Well, I've dealt with it between me and God. Well, don't you think you should talk to that person? No, I'm not going to talk to that person. It's just between me and God. I've settled it in my heart. Yeah, you settled it in your heart and you sow seeds into 25 other people's lives. And so when you walk in church and see them sitting on that side, you go all the way over to that side and sit over there and you say you've dealt with it. And what the Word of God says is you're doing exactly opposite of what God wants you to do. When someone hurts you, offends you, sins against you, or does you wrong, whether it's perceived, imaginary, or real, the Bible says that immediately what you do is you take that person aside in private. Underline, underline, underline. Private. You take them in private and you talk to them from heart to heart and you say, you know what? What you did was wrong. It hurt me. It's something that's really damaged me. It's something that I want to deal with. I want to get it right in private. I've had situations at times where people try to deal with it in the hallway, in a crowd, not the right place. And when you do it in the right spirit, and that person acknowledges, maybe it was unintentional, maybe it was deliberate, and they say, I'm sorry, I repent. You fix it, you have just won a brother back, it says. and you have added godliness to your life, you've brought a brother back, and you both are restored and walking in God, and God delights when that is done in the congregation. Now, I know some people that they don't talk to someone until they get really mad about it. Some of us are like that. Someone does something to you one time, and you get mad. Oh, man. Aggravates me. But you don't do anything about it. They do it a second time, and now you're really mad. And then finally they do it a third time, and you talk to them, but you talk to them only when you're boiling hot and mad, and or you send them an email. Let me tell you something about emails. Don't deal with your problems via email, please. I've had so many people that try to deal with problems via email, and guess what happens? When you write an email, it always seems worse than what it is. Because no one knows if you're smiling or yelling in an email. And I've known some really nice people to write really nasty emails, and I want to say, don't do it via email. Just sit down and talk. That way you can smile, pat them on the back, hug them. It's a lot more personal than that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just kind of nod your head. Okay. Now, the Word of God says that's the first process. Now, you say, well, what if that person doesn't listen? Or what if it turns up into a bigger problem? Then the Bible says in verse 16, but if you will not listen, then you take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. In other words, if this person doesn't listen and it blows up into a bigger thing and you feel like there's an issue, a wrong that hasn't been dealt with, and the Bible says you need to take two or three other people with you. And by the way, these aren't your bodyguards. These aren't your ammunition. These aren't the guys that stand behind you and go like this while you're talking to the person. These are people that are pursuing peace. People of maturity. People that love God. People that want to bring peace to a situation. And you bring them around, the Bible says, so that it doesn't become a he said, she said, I said, they said, we said. So that it can be established by two or three witnesses, and so the issues can become the issues. How many of you know that when you deal with conflict, sometimes the issues get somewhere muddled in there, and it becomes personality, you and me, and this and that, and we lose the issue? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so it says, bring two or three witnesses so that it may be established, people that love God, people that are pursuing peace, people of maturity, and you sit down, and you talk through the issue with a third or fourth perspective there.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. We are in a series called Life Lessons, Parables of Jesus, and our message is called Walking in True Freedom. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about Pastor Mark Jobe and New Life Community Church after the broadcast, as well as how you can get a copy of this message for free. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Our message is called Walking in True Freedom.
By the way, I want to encourage you in marriage to do the same thing. Some of you get stuck in marriage in a conflict and you can't get past it, and so you never deal with it, and your communication breaks down, and you're mad at each other, and you refuse to sit down with another person because you feel like it's conceding to weakness. Can I tell you, we all need a third party sometimes? No. Let me talk to you men. It's not a sign of weakness. It doesn't take away your manhood. No one's going to send you to the psych ward. You're not admitting to be crazy. If you sat down with a pastor as a counselor, or if you sat down with a counselor that says, I will be the third party. I run into men that refuse to sit down with anybody. Their standard answer is, woman, it's your problem. You go get counseling. I don't need it. And so I want to encourage you, if you're at a stalemate and you can't get past it, please sit down with a third party. Sit down. Talk it through. Let's get beyond the issues if you can't figure it out. On your own, let's sit down with second or third people as it's encouraging us to do in this passage. And the Bible says this in verse 17. And if he refuses to listen to the three witnesses, or if he refuses to listen to them, tell it then to the church. and he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. The Bible says that there's a problem and you've dealt with it and you try to deal with it with other people, and someone is persistent in the wrongdoing. They're unwilling to change, unwilling to repent, unwilling to acknowledge any wrong. Then that is when you bring it to the church. You bring it to the pastoral leaders, the leadership of the church, and the church then sets down and tries to mediate the problem and deal with the problem. And hopefully there's some godly people that can deal with an issue in a godly way. And if still people are unwilling to turn around or repent or deal with their issues, then that person is considered an unrepentant person, unwilling to deal with their issues. And therefore, the Bible says that in that case, that person should be treated as a tax collector or a publican. What was a tax collector or a publican? It was someone that did not follow the ways of God at all. They were a pagan and someone that really was not sincere or true about their Christianity. That's the process. Now, oftentimes we have totally foregone the process and not dealt with issues that we, as we should, and it creates a lot of problems in our life when we're offended. Second principle I'm going to give you. The second principle, the first principle is the principle of process. And by the way, there's various signs at the church where we have had to deal with this. And let me tell you, people say, Pastor, is there any sin that someone commits that would ever get them kicked out of a church? The answer is this: every sin that is committed, when there is repentance and coming to God, there is forgiveness and washing and the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. Now, let me add this. The only issue that would ever get someone kicked out of a church following this process is the issue of unrepentance. You know what unrepentance is? Unrepentance is, I'm going to do my thing and I'm not going to change and no one's going to tell me what I should do or how I should do it. I refuse to change. That's unrepentance. Some guy decides that he's going to hook up with someone at the office and has an affair with a woman at the office while he's a married man. They're approached about it. He says, I'm not going to change. Two or three people are taken in there. I'm not going to change. No, I'm not going to change. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. If he's taken to the church and leadership talks to him and he says, my marriage is over. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I know I'm married. I know it's wrong, but I'm not going to change. I'm not going to break up with this woman. That's just what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to tell you, we have a problem. And that's called unrepentance. And the Bible says in that case, that person needs to be disciplined. Because what it indicates is a lack of willingness to turn to God and repent and turn our heart to God. Now, there's always forgiveness when someone is willing to come to God and say, God, I'm willing to repent and turn around and accept you. There's always forgiveness. But if there's a refusal to repent, then that's when the discipline of God comes in. Are you tracking with me this morning? All right. Verse 18, the principle of binding and loosing. And we're talking about what happens when someone gets offended. Verse 18 says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven as well. How many of you have ever heard this verse? How many of you have ever heard this verse referring to Peter and people saying that Peter was the first pope because he can bind and loose things on heaven and earth? Okay? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, one page earlier, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. It says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven as well. And I want to say, wow, Peter had a lot of power, right? He was given keys. The keys of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven. Man, I wish I had the power of Peter, you say. Man, he could bind things on earth, release them in heaven. He could release blessing on earth and it's released in heaven. He could withhold blessing on earth and it would be withheld in heaven as well. He could bind and loose on earth and it would affect the spiritual realm. And you say, wow, he had a lot of power. Man, God must have really loved him. And that's true. However, let me blow your mind away with this. Do you realize that the same promise that was given to Peter is also given to you? Because in Matthew chapter 18, it says, I tell you the truth. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. He says, I tell you the truth. He's no longer talking to Peter. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's exactly what he told Peter. That must make us all popes. Whatever we bind and loose on earth will be loosed and bound in heaven. Now you say, Pastor, what exactly does that mean? That means that God has also given you the keys of the kingdom, and God has given you the ability to bind and loose. Now remember, he's talking about the context of offended people and people that are refusing to repent. You say, well, what does that mean? I'm telling you what it means. It means the power of blessing. Now, when you as a believer have people that have fallen away, or people that have become prodigals, or people that have given up on God, or people that are struggling, the Bible says that God has given you keys. And those keys have the ability to bind and release on earth, and it affects heaven. So, let me illustrate it this way. I had a person a few years ago, I was at a crusade, and a person a few years ago came and said, I didn't know this person, but he came to me and he said, hi. He said, I need prayer. I said, okay, that's what we're here for. How can we pray for you? He said, you know what? My heart's really hard. I used to follow God, but I don't anymore. My heart's become so hard. I want to get right with God. I want to follow him, but my heart's so hard that I can't and I don't want to. And he said, I want you to pray for me because I really need to come to God, but my heart is so hard I can't come to God. I said, okay, I'll pray for you. So I laid hands on him and I said, oh God, I pray that you make this man miserable. Take away his joy. Everything that he ventures on, may it fail. Take away prosperity. Take away success. Make problems in his relationships. And he pulled my hands off. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying for you. He said, well, I don't want you to pray that. I said, you wanted me to pray that you would get right with God, right? Yes. And you're telling me that your heart's real hard, right? Yes. Well, sometimes the only way that you're going to come to God is when you realize that there is no other way that is fulfilling and satisfying and full of joy unless it's God. And sometimes the best thing that could ever happen to us is that bad things happen to us. Sometimes the best blessing on our lives is when there is a hedge around us, and it's not a hedge of protection, but it's a hedge that's keeping us from being satisfied in anything but God. Because as long as his business is prospering, as long as he's got his girlfriend, as long as things are going well, he's going to satisfy himself in those things and he's not going to turn to God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church in Chicago, and his message today was called Walking in True Freedom, which is from his brand new series called Life Lessons, Parables of Jesus. Please tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message.
As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.